You're listening to SQRradio.com. The Squirrel.
Well, what is that?
Gravy for the brain.
The opinions and commentary expressed on the program you're about to hear do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or its advertisers, but it may weigh heavily on what's between your ears. It's the Krieger Files with Dave Krieger, brought to you by a network of radio stations who care about the communities they serve. Alexa, turn on the Krieger Files.
And here we are on this hump day edition. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, we always try to keep in touch with what's going on. I was just reading a radio survey of people who listen to radio versus those who don't. And the kind of radio station, this is a platform out of Media Confidential. Did you know that among major demographics, AM/FM radio is the dominant ad-supported audio platform? Podcasts have significant shares among younger age groups because they're glued to their cell phones. This is where we get into this big controversy about who listens to what and when. Among African Americans, notice we got to be politically correct there, AM/FM radio is particularly strong. More black people listen to AM/FM radio than anybody else. Podcast shares, not as strong along the general market. They're paying attention to the news. They want what's going on. Hispanics, on the other hand, 18 to 34, podcasts are now the number one ad-supported audio platform. And see, you wonder why, and I've talked to people, attorneys and whatnot, about, you know, purchasing FM stations and whatnot. And there's so many of these FM and AM companies and radio companies, major corporations, are all in bankruptcy now. The latest being Odyssey Media, of course. You know, George Soros bought a big interest in that, as also in Vice Media. The thing is that podcasting probably, and we're talking about the ability to get on the internet and stream any which way you can, is particularly important if you want to get to the younger generation. Now, do older folks actually surf the net? Actually, when it comes to AM/FM radio, podcasts amongst the 35 to 64 age range only account for 7% of in-car demographics. Imagine that. You got to wonder how this fares as far as streaming is growing as a percentage of total AM/FM radio listening. And a lot of it depends on age range, and the numbers have decreased slightly over time. There's a share of audio time spent between over-the-air AM, FM, radio listening, and digital streaming. Persons 18 plus. I mean, we're talking about anywhere from 87 to 92% of those get their information from streaming podcasts. But depending on the race and their accessibility to these platforms, certain demographics listen to radio more than others. And a lot of people listen to the radio when they're in their car. You know, that's how we stay informed. So, you know, people can call this a podcast. They can call it a syndicated radio program. This program right now is currently being beamed on satellite. So we are more than just a podcast. Those on Channel 1 can pick us up. They can pick us up at 11 o'clock Central Time as well as on SQR Radio, which is a streaming service, sqrradio.com. This show shows up at 5 p.m. Central. Now, the reason I bring all this up is because of Alex Jones and what's going on with his, because see, he's done a lot of streaming. He used to do a lot of stuff on KLBJ in Austin. When I was there, he was there. And afterwards, I've been on his show multiple times. Anybody that wants to dial my name up on Alex Jones, Dave Krieger and Alex Jones, you can see all the broadcasts. I've been on there with Leanne. I've been on there with Alex. I've been on there with David Knight. Been on there with Rob Dew. I mean, a lot of people that work with the freedom fighters over there at InfoWars Media. Well, now Alex Jones has filed a lawsuit to block The Onion. It's a satirical newspaper, and he's blocking them because their bid was half. The winning bid was half of what First United offered. And the thing is The Onion was going to repurpose InfoWars to advocate for progressive causes like gun control. I mean, and people see, I really think they must think, again, that we are so stupid that Alex Jones listeners on InfoWars, The Onion and all these other people that are trying to buy out, you know, free speech systems and whatnot, because of these faux pas that allegedly led Sandy Hook parents to sue and get a $1.5 billion judgment in defamation. And then you've got the trustee who definitely does not like Alex Jones out there messing with the bid. And of course, then he calls the Sandy Hook families and says, look, would you guys be willing to help offset some of the other creditors? And whoa, that's not the reason that Free Speech Systems was being ordered sold, folks. It was to pay the $1.5 billion in defamation judgments that all of this litigation that happened over Sandy Hook, you know, that's what this is all about. It had nothing to do with all the other creditors. That's why he filed the bankruptcy. And so, you know, between the trustee and the Judge Lopez, come on. All right. So now it's a big joke as to how, you know, it's going on. And it's not a cash bid, of course. You know, it's difficult to understand and literally impossible to value. The entire arrangement violates the bid protocols and is neither legal, moral, or ethical, according to Jones. He also raised issues with the unconventional nature of the joint bid, in which he alleges lacks a clear legal definition and undermines the integrity of the auction process. Boy, hanky-panky in the bankruptcy court. The suit accused the trustee and the parody news site of colluding to block its $3.5 million cash offer, but didn't go so far as to include the Sandy Hook parents. We're talking about First United. They also filed its own lawsuit in bankruptcy court. Said that it was improper attempt to influence an otherwise fair and open auction process. The Onion's winning bid, you know, which he valued at more than $7 million. And of course, now Judge Christopher Lopez is going to schedule more hearings to gather information before deciding who gets it. Kind of sad, huh? And so, you know, we're talking about the media platforms and, you know, all the statistics of who relies on the broadband, which is your internet, okay? A lot of people listen to internet. They got these cell phones. These cell phones are like miniature computers. You know, all this stuff that people listen on their computers, on their phones, because the phone is like a walking computer. You're walking around. It's connected to satellite. You've got tracking devices on there. They know where you are at any given moment. What? You didn't think they could do that? How do you think they find out when they ping your last location if you turn up missing? Well, the cell phone was turned off. Well, can't you ping their last known location? I mean, they even show this on NCIS and TV shows. Where do you think they get those ideas from? From our government, of course. Hollywood is plugged into the United States government. And when you're talking about Hollywood, I mean, let's talk about sports for a minute. The Buffalo Bills 30-21 win over the Kansas City Chiefs in Week 11 brought in record-breaking TV viewership during the CBS national window. According to Sports Business Journal's Austin Karp, the average 31.2 million viewers tuned in to see Buffalo's home win, which snapped Kansas City's unbeaten record and improved the Bills to 9-2 for the first time since 1992. Not only is the Bills Chiefs the most watched game of the 2024 NFL season so far, it's also the most watched regular season NFL game, excluding Thanksgiving and Christmas, since the Patriots-Colts game in Week 9 in 2007 posted 33.8 million viewers. That matchup featured the 8-0 Patriots, led by Tom Brady, going against Peyton Manning and the 7-0 Colts. Additionally, Bills Chiefs is the fourth most watched national window on record dating back to 1988, ranks among the 10 most watched NFL games on record in any window, excluding Thanksgiving. Oh, you gotta love that if you're a Bills or a Chiefs fan. You know me, I gotta stay out of it because I worked in the Kansas City media. I knew most of those guys in the Chiefs and the Royals. But I want to play something for you after the break, surprisingly, that we should really be paying attention to. Because if you're watching football and paying as much attention to what our U.S. government is doing as you are watching football, you might actually find out what's amiss in Washington, D.C. We'll play that clip after we get back from the break. Stay with us.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
From the ranks of the disenfranchised, it's the government's worst nightmare. It's the Krieger Files.
Okay, back in the saddle here on this Hump Day edition. Before we went to break, we were talking about, you know, if you're paying as much attention to sports on TV as you were what the government is doing, you would understand how DC operates. And, you know, I went back to this movie a long time ago. How does Hollywood know about all these things? We just talked to you about that. I'm not talking at you. I'm talking to you. Okay. There's a difference here. I'm not condescending because we have a very educated public that listens to the show, and there is zero chance that I am ever going to condescend to anybody that's got an opinion about what's going on right now in DC. Because see, if you're watching Chiefs and Bills and all these, you know, major league sports, it's because you either A, you love football or any other sport out there that happens to, you know, occupy your time because it gives you a chance to sit down and hopefully drink anything but Bud Light in front of your TV set and gorge yourself on pizza, which I'm assuming most people don't. You know, they would like to have these commercials that all sit around and throw popcorn in the air every time they score a touchdown or some other crazy stuff. But if people would pay as much attention to what's going on in D.C., and I'm talking about the people who don't listen to the show, we might be a lot better off. So that kind of prompted me to go digging for a couple of clips out of a movie that came out a long time ago with Eddie Murphy. See if you can figure out which one this is. Go ahead and roll the clip.
Yo, man, Van Dyke.
Yeah.
You remember Willie Sutton?
My hero.
All right, now, what did Willie Sutton say when they asked him how come he robbed banks?
That's where the money is.
Exactly. Washington, D.C., that's where the money is. Listen, I have been doing some research. I've been to the library. Listen now before you left. Congressmen, when they get elected, they get $130,000 a year. That's their base salary. But then they have these things called PACs, okay, the political action committees, right? Then there's these lobbyists. Now, the lobbyists, their whole point in life is to buy you off.
I'd like to do more money for you, but first I've got to get your positions on a few issues. Now, where are you on sugar price supports?
Sugar price support.
Hmm?
Where should I be, Terry?
It makes no difference to me. If you're for him, I got money for you from my sugar producers in Louisiana and Hawaii. If you're against him, I got money for you from the candy manufacturers.
You pick.
Let's say four.
Yeah, four.
Four. How about putting limits on malpractice awards?
Well, you tell me.
Well, if you're for him. I got money from the doctors and insurance companies. If you're against them, I got money from the trial lawyers. Let's put you down as against.
Yeah, you know what? Put me down for against.
How about pizza?
Oh, no, this salad's gonna be enough for me. Not for lunch, old buddy. For pack money.
Terry, tell me something. With all this money coming in from both sides, how could anything possibly ever get done?
It doesn't. That's the genius of the system.
Yeah, you heard that right. You remember what movie that's from? Brady, you remember what movie that's from?
Don't remember.
Ah, The Distinguished Gentleman with Eddie Murphy.
Oh, I remember it now.
Yep. All right. That's why I pulled that out. I pulled that rabbit out of the hat because that is exactly what's going on in D.C. If people would just pay attention to that, you know, more than they do watching football, we probably would get a lot more done because there's a lot of people out there that are not very informed as to how the uniparty system works. You left a comment on my phone about you think that this deal with The Onion is a done deal. I'm not sure about that now.
Well, I was just listening to Alex Jones overnight, and he said it was a complete hoax, and his lawyers are already filing a lawsuit for it. He says the whole auction bid was a scam, and the actual winning bidder was just a setup from the people that were behind trying to get him off the air. So it's going to go nowhere. There's probably going to be a reverse lawsuit on that. But what I saw last night into Russia, they just had a little blip on Fox News, but they're launching those long-range missiles, which we've talked about for a year and a half. I hope they don't ever do it. Well, they've done it. And what they ended up doing in Russia, they blew up a ammunition dump. It left a beautiful mushroom cloud in the Russian sky. I'm sure Vlad was very happy with that. What General Flynn did, they started articles of impeachment for Joe Biden in the House today. So you're going to see Joe Biden possibly get impeached for long-range weapons into Moscow. And also, he's sending over hundreds of thousands of landmines that have been banned for years by the Geneva Convention. That's going to automatically disqualify him. He's going to get impeached on those two things alone.
I just played the clip. The system, Brady, the system never gets anything done. That's the whole point. And now Russia, according to the Daily Mail, has started mass producing mobile nuclear bunkers capable of housing dozens and protecting against shockwaves and radiation as Putin lowers threshold for launching nukes. That's the headline. So, you know, what have we done here? The Biden administration's got 2 months to get us into World War III, and you don't think they're going to try to do this?
They need to stop it overnight. We have less than 24 hours before Vlad does a reverse strike on us. I'm just hoping he doesn't take out D.C., 13 Downey Street in the U.K., probably hit Paris, France. You know, he's not going to mess around this time. This is what he told for how long? This is how many violations you've done. And then he also changed the wording on the nuclear doctrine yesterday, which now says any country that assists the Ukro-Nazis into bombing Moscow or any Russian territory, you're going to get hit with a nuclear strike back. And the whole doctrine was rewritten yesterday.
Yeah, it was. I appreciate your call, Brady. Thanks. My take on this is that if they manage to launch one of these U.S. missiles into downtown Moscow and it hits the Kremlin, I guarantee you that Putin is going to levy some real serious retaliation against the United States, and it's not going to stop there. And see, here's the problem with all the warmongers out there. See, they don't understand that they are going to be affected. All of their stock, if they take out our grid, their stock will mean zero. They won't have access to it. They can't withdraw it because the grid will be gone. So how are they going to get? I mean, they're all on a level playing field because, I mean, once they start taking out power plants, once they start, you know, using EMP to totally paralyze and cripple this country, and it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, all these people are going to be similarly affected. All these warmongers, these Congress people that have defense stocks that go in as paupers and come out billionaires, they're all going to be affected by this. And they're all going to become targets because people are going to get sick and tired. They're going to point fingers at everybody in Congress. It doesn't matter what. As long as they've got the word congressman or honorable in front of their name, they become an instant target. And these people do not realize by promoting the war like they are, they have caused Putin to reevaluate his position on nukes and when he's going to use them. I don't know what it is about people that they've got to be so thick-skulled that they don't understand what they're doing in promoting war like this and sending U.S.-made missiles into Russia. Because all Russia has to do is just look at what's left of the missile projectile when it comes in and identify it as U.S.-made and that it was basically donated to Ukraine at our taxpayer expense. And so all these people can continue to bid on defense stocks and make money off it. I mean, this is what they do. I mean, you heard Eddie Murphy say, you know, this is what the PACs do. Their mission is to buy you off, and that's what they've done. We got the best Congress money can buy. And so, you know, with the Trump administration promoting all these people going in, you know, we got Brendan Carr, looks like he's going to be the new commissioner. He authored the FCC chapter of Project 2025, which is a wish list of conservative policy proposals. And he's going to go after CBS. He's already vowed to do that for that cut up interview with Kamala. And of course, he's bashing traditional media, supporting action against TV networks for alleged political bias against Trump, which of course they've denied. I don't know which is worse, you know, Mika and Joe's visit to Mar-a-Lago or Jon Stewart's Monday night rant, which I watched entirely and got a laugh out of because he basically pointed the finger of hypocrisy at all these Congress people and all these media creators, content creators. A new survey, by the way, has found out that influencers, and we're talking about all of the influencers on individual podcast creators like Rogan, Caller Daddy, all that, making their case to the voters. A Pew survey of 10,000 adults studied 500 news influencers or people who regularly post about the news and have 100,000 plus followers. Some of the biggest takeaways is how big the wide gender gap really is. 63% of news influencers are men compared to 30% who are women. X is on top. 85% of news influencers are active on the site, while Instagram, the second most popular, is used by half the news influencers. TikTok is bucking the trends. It's got the smallest gender gap. 50% male influencers, 45% female. It's the only platform where news influencers who are publicly left-leaning, 28%, outnumber those who are right-leaning, 25%. So given what Brendan Carr from the FCC plans on doing, you can expect legacy news outlets that are losing viewers and subscribers to start partnering up with popular influencers, no experience necessary. The study found 77% of news influencers have no past or present affiliation with a news organization. Hey, go figure. I mean, that's pretty wild. We've been saying all along, you know, maybe people aren't going to start listening to radio unless that's the only way you have to listen. And then are you going to get the truth? That's the bigger problem. That's why more people are turning to broadband.
Taking back America, one consumer at a time. It's the Krieger Files.
We were talking about these news influencers. How many left wing, how many right wing? I mean, everybody's, you know, it's a big plethora of podcasts. Isn't that wonderful? And see, the only ones, I mean, you remember a long time ago when Howard Stern's Private Parts came out? And, you know, they had the movie and here's Kenny, the producer. He's a program director. Howard called him Pig Vomit. And of course, Howard got on the air and, you know, Kenny's asking the guy that's doing the survey, well, if they hate him, why do they listen to him? Well, they want to see what he'll say next. Most common answer given. You know, that's what shock radio is all about. But see, we've kind of outgrown that. And Stern, of course, is outgrown. He's too big for his britches. He's got himself two channels on Sirius XM like Megyn Kelly does. And now Megyn Kelly is sitting there telling Joe and Mika, you know, on MSDNC to go F yourselves, you know, because they can. It's Sirius XM, and people are actually paying a monthly subscription to listen to this. And, you know, like they go to Spotify and they listen to Rogan. I mean, it's not the only game in town. You know, we have LibertyNewsRadio.com for a reason, and we don't charge you a subscription. That's the beauty of it. Now, how do we stay afloat? Well, we have a website, thekriegerfiles.com. You click on shop, and you buy stuff. And, you know, we don't have a big, massive website of all these healthcare products. You know, it's not like the old show, which no longer exists. I mean, come on. This is one of these things you have to realize is that people are going to figure out a way to monetize. That's why we have Substack pages. And I appreciate every single one of you Substack subscribers out there that goes to DaveKrieger.substack.com and does a paid subscription, because that's what keeps this show on the air. Because we have a set amount of expense money going out every month. I mean, this is how podcasters work. Now, some are more successful and they want to see media streaming. They like watching you. They like watching Megyn Kelly wear these tank tops and all this other, you know, sexy garb when she's on there with her nicely done coiffure, you know, sitting there telling Joe and Mika, go F yourself. You know, they take pride in that. But see, she's on Sirius XM. She's making money because she's got sponsors, because these people are on the forefront. Now, why do they spread controversy? Well, because that is what people want. We've been so conditioned to a me-first society that people go to these things to watch stuff because it feeds the flame. It gets people angry and upset, and they do crazy things. This is what got Alex Jones sued by Sandy Hook parents, because people were incensed with the things that Alex said. Did he go to the extreme? Well, you be the judge. I mean, had he not, would he have been sued for $1.5 billion in defamation if he hadn't gone to extreme? I mean, I didn't see him going after James Fetzer. I mean, yeah, sure, he, you know, had something to do with it, started it, and people looked at it. I mean, I was talking to my lovely wife about it this morning. I go, you know, but they buried kids, didn't they? I mean, normally when a parent buries their child, they take a picture of them in the coffin, right? Don't you? I mean, haven't you gone to your own child's? Well, we don't like to think about that. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, I've actually gone to a funeral and took my camera out and took a picture of the person laying in the coffin, because that's the last time I saw them alive and remembered who they were. Unfortunately, this particular woman that I took the picture of hung herself in her garage. So I'm just kind of like, wow. You know, when you get into stuff like this, I mean, this is eye-opening, folks. There is so much of this pablum you can digest before you start becoming psychotic. We have to start thinking rationally here. I mean, here you've got Putin, and the news media is saying Putin's building all of these nuke bunkers that will resist radiation and resist the shockwave. He's lowered his standards for why he's going to, you know, is this all nothing but pablum? Or is this a warning sign that our government might be overreaching because of this war in Ukraine? I mean, this 2 months we have until the swearing in of Trump at noon on the 20th of January couldn't come soon enough. And then you watch Biden. I mean, this is really funny, because Jon Stewart even was showing Biden, after he got done signing all this paperwork and giving $4 billion to underprivileged countries of our tax dollars, and he turns around and he gets up from the table and starts walking into the bush. And it's like, hey, where are you going? I mean, the guy's lost his marbles. And if people want to try to impeach him, that, you know, what that means is that Trump 47 merchandise will be down the toilet. It'll be Trump 48, because if they impeach Biden, and see, the House and the Senate have to agree to that, and that's never going to happen, because we're too close to Trump right now. So all of these ideas of whoever's going to, you know, motion to do impeachment hearings, it's going to take more than the 2 months to the swearing-in ceremony to ever accomplish this, which is why I played the clip from the distinguished gentleman where Kevin McCarthy is playing Terry the attorney, who's a lobbyist. You know, I got money from the sugar producers, or I got money from the candy manufacturers, or we got money from the insurance companies and the doctors, and we got money from the trial lawyers. Let's put you down for trial lawyers. You know, do you have a trust fund that we can set up? You see, this is what they're doing in D.C., folks. And so, you know, when you have people who are sitting there talking, you know, just regular garbage, and they're nitpicking on the other media, Megyn Kelly does a lot of that. You remember, she used to be part of the mainstream media before she broke away and went on to Sirius XM. She also took the jab and regrets doing it. You know, what caused her to all of a sudden wake up? Why does everybody want to go look at her? Because she looks like good eye candy? I mean, what she's saying that makes any sense to you? Other than nitpicking, and this is all they've done on mainstream media. Nitpick, nitpick, nitpick. And what does that do? That's just like, that's as bad as Congress finger pointing at each other. accusing each other of how bad things are when they all know damn well it's the uniparty system that's doing it. Now, I mean, this is crazy, folks, right? And then you have, of course, all the politicians now that are sitting there trying to figure out how they're going to explain how we're going to deal with this illegal immigration situation. Los Angeles has just passed an ordinance to block Trump's mass deportation plan. That's the headline in the Epoch Times. But then when you start reading into it, it basically is a 13-0 vote that Mayor Bass is expected to sign. And all it does is it basically says, in response to Trump's declaration that a nationwide emergency is going to be done and military assets are going to be used to carry out mass deportations of illegal immigrants, while Trump didn't elaborate on the plan, City of Los Angeles said, no, we're going to have a sanctuary city ordinance. City personnel are not allowed to inquire about a person's immigration status or make arrests for purposes of enforcement of federal immigration law. City personnel are also prohibited from responding to an administrative warrant or request to detain, transfer, or notify federal immigration agents about the status or release of an illegal immigrant. We'll look at it this way. It really doesn't matter what LA thinks. If the military goes in there and they start rounding up people because they look like they're illegal immigrants, I mean, look what happened in Charlotte County, Florida, of all places. I used to live there. I know. I know the Charlotte County Sheriff, folks. They've arrested 8 illegal immigrants who all lived in one house without permission. Do you remember a long time ago, the guy that was in Orlando, Florida, the illegal immigrant, was sitting there putting on social media about how to squat in people's houses and find a place to hide? Don't worry, the U.S. government knows which houses. I mean, they know when you're sleeping, they know when you're awake. Yeah, because they're going to literally be able to come to your house and they'll know, because people are going to look and they're going to go, wait a minute, that's my home. What are these people doing there? Next thing you know, the ICE is showing up and they're taking these people out. So what happened, according to the sheriff's office, a Border Patrol agent alerted deputies that he was searching for a man who had a federal warrant for resisting arrest without violence. The guy whose name was Jorge Molina Pineda. And so when they entered the home with a warrant, there was 8 people in the house altogether, and they arrested him for trespassing after the homeowner said none of them were supposed to be in there. Emily's Rodriguez is related to 5 of the 8 people arrested. She spoke with a Wink News reporter, Maddie Heron. They're like, what immigration is in the house, you know? And then some started running. Some started trying to climb the tree, she said, but I feel it was all a big misunderstanding. She and her family drove 18 hours from Texas to fix up Florida houses and damage in recent hurricanes. But they're illegal immigrants. They ended up taking half my family that actually had only come out here to work, she said. It does not matter. She says, well, they thought they had permission from their employer to stay in the home. Oh, really? Gee, what are they going to do about the employer? You see, here's the other thing. When they started going to the work sites and arresting people, I mean, this is just one issue in Charlotte County, Florida. 8 illegal immigrants trespassing. What do you think is going to happen when the military comes out in full regalia and starts picking up people? Then what? We'll be back to continue this discussion after this quick break. Stay with us.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Molesting your earballs one more time. It's the Krieger Files with your host, Dave Krieger.
Okay, we're back at 12 minutes to the hour here on our hump day edition. One of the most vaxxed counties in America is facing a heart attack crisis now. We're talking about King County, Washington. 98% of the people there took at least one COVID shot. The data isn't looking good. A peer-reviewed study has found a jaw-dropping 1,236% surge in excess heart attack deaths among King County's 2.2 million residents. Now, it may not seem like a lot. In 2020, we had 11 excess heart attack deaths. In 2021, we had 75 excess heart attack deaths. In 2022, we had 111 excess heart attack deaths. And in 2023, we had 147 excess heart attack deaths. That's a 1,236% increase compared to 2020. Well, you can make the numbers say whatever you want. But, of course, reflecting on the alarming data, Dr. Peter McCullough, who is one of these people that, you know, thinks that vaccines are the smoking gun, said just that. This is now a fully peer-reviewed in the emergency medicine literature, he says. We've messaged the Medic One unit in Seattle. They clearly need to do more research to figure out how soon these vaccines were administered and to whom. You see, those who didn't take the jab are still living to talk about it. And those who did take the jab, at least one COVID shot, we can basically say that you all are now walking time bombs. It's just a matter of time. You know, maybe you got a placebo. Maybe you lucked out. You know, because we don't know who got jabbed with the real McCoy, whether you got a half dose, whether you got a full dose. We don't know that yet because some people got half doses, right? A major healthcare provider network has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Here, I thought broadcast units were the only things doing that. Florida-based CareMax, Miami, their healthcare network, that basically what they do is they run 46 clinical centers, and they serve around 260,000 people every year. Well, now they're in Chapter 11 in the Northern District of Texas Bankruptcy Court, listing assets in a range of $100 million to $500 million, and liabilities between $500 million and $1 billion, and the number of creditors between, are you ready for this, 5,001 and 10,000. That's the limit. They give you a range of how many creditors you got. You know, under 5,000, under 100, under whatever. We're here between 5,001 and 10,000 creditors. This is CareMax. They've got two primary business lines, a management services organization and clinical care centers. 40 of those 46 clinical centers are in Florida, with the remaining in Texas, Louisiana, and other states, employing around 1,100 workers, serving about 260,000 patients a year. And, of course, the cost of doing business, that's it. Cost more. The health system funded its growth spree by taking out loans. Companies started facing increased costs, which were compounded by rising interest rates and corresponding increased debt service payments. It's no wonder that now everybody's talking about this 10% cap on credit cards. I mean, we have to figure out a way to survive, folks. I'm sorry, Mr. Banker, that you're not going to make all this money off credit cards if Congress has their way and they put a 10% cap on credit cards. That means that people are going to be able to pay them off quicker and get out of debt quicker. The DOJ, by the way, wants Google to sell Chrome. The DOJ basically are asking a judge today, who previously ruled the Google search was an illegal monopoly, to force the company to sell Chrome in what would be a landmark moment for antitrust efforts in the U.S., Bloomberg reports. Why Chrome? Regulators view the browser, the world's most popular, as a key beachhead for users to access Google's search engine. There's still a long way to go before the Chrome-less Google would be a reality. Google says it plans to appeal the case. The judge won't make any final call until August of next year. Well, see, the thing is that a lot of people have come to realize now that Google reports a lot of their stuff to the U.S. government, and so anytime you're out there searching for stuff, it's anything but private. So, a lot of stuff going on here. There's a another DNA company out there. This is a DNA testing company. You know, all that stuff, you know, where you sit there and you send them your, take a swab of your mouth or whatever. And then you send it into this company and they test your DNA and they tell you, you know, where your background is, what country you came from. This company promised its clients insights into their genetic disposition. And all of a sudden, they vanished along with the customer's genetic data. The London offices are closed. Nobody answers the phones. Clients are no longer capable of accessing their online records. All the company's social media accounts haven't been updated. Are you really want to? This is called atlasbiomed.com. The domain is inactive. Customers were only able to look at their test results online. They were not downloadable. So now they're not only, I mean, you could do a screenshot, folks. Don't you know how to do screenshots in your computer? You know, they don't have any idea. The customers, after they paid to have their data analyzed, they have no idea what happened to the data. How do we know that it hadn't been shared with someplace like Russia? Four out of the eight company officers have resigned. Two of those that remain are listed at the same address in where? Moscow. It happened to be the same address as that of a Russian billionaire who is now described as a resigned director. See, here's the thing about all you people out there that are so vain. You know, in 2018, MyHeritage suffered a security incident in which exposed the email addresses and hash passwords of 92 million users. In 2020, Ancestry was acquired by investment firm Blackstone for $4.7 billion, which raised questions about the potential commercialization of genetic data and the transfer to the new owners. The ongoing saga of what happened at 23andMe, the clearest example of why people would be hesitant to submit genetic data. In 2023, cyber criminals put up information belonging to as many as 7 million 23andMe customers for sale on criminal forums. That would be on the dark web, obviously, following a credential stuffing attack against the genomics company. Since then, all the board members have resigned except for CEO Ann Wojcicki, who has stood by her plans to take the company private, raising again the subject of what happens to consumer genetic data when a company is sold. Think about that the next time you go swabbing your cheek and sending it in to try to, you know, see, to me, this is a vanity ploy. And there's a lot of people I know out there who are, you know, regretting sending that in, because now look what's happening. So we were talking about the border crisis before. The ACLU has now sued ICE. Why is that? Well, they want to know what the plans are for Trump's administration's expelling millions of illegal immigrants. They want to know, how are you going to do this? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when they come for you? Yeah. You see, here's the thing about illegal immigration, all right? You have all of these people living in America right now. And I brought this subject matter up before, and I'm sure that a lot of you out there that are legally here came with the intention of becoming a legal citizen, not just going to Charlotte County, Florida, and hiding in somebody's house and trespassing. And you knew damn well you were illegal when you came into the country, and it doesn't matter whether you went there to help fix up people's homes. Whoever employed you to do that needs to get arrested because they're breaking the law. But you see, the Democrats in Washington, D.C., part of the Uniparty, that side of the aisle wants more voters registering Democrat so they can keep themselves in power. We all knew this when it started, and I was one of the ones in not the legacy media or the mainstream media, but in the podcast community or the radio community that was saying, hey, the only reason they're doing this is because they want more votes. And they figure that if they can stuff the ballot boxes and have all these illegal immigrants come across the country, we can change the landscape to where we never ever have to worry about losing an election again. Now, can you imagine the president being Democrat and all of the House and Senate being nothing but Democrats and no Republicans? We're supposed to have a Republican form of government, yet the big thing is oh, it'll ruin our democracy. See, we don't have a democracy. We have a constitutional republic. And the ACLU is asking the district court for the Central District of California Western Division to compel ICE to turn over all the documents immediately and block it from withholding similar records in the future, because they want to know about how the removal system is going to work. How are you going to do it? We've already said they're going to the workplace. ICE's website states that its air program operates 12 aircraft from locations in Arizona, Texas, Louisiana, and Florida. And ICE Air, according to the agency's annual report, conducted 47,617 out of 62,545 total ICE deportations in the fiscal year 2023 under Title 42, now expired public health order, used to expedite removals on grounds of preventing the spread of COVID. Now, see what kind of excuse they use? But that's all they were able to deport, was a little over 47,000. Oh, it's got to get better than that, folks. You see, but here's the problem that I was discussing this morning with my lovely wife about the numbers. You've got 11 million people in this country illegally estimated. And now you're going to have to spend, I mean, look how much money the Biden administration spent feeding, housing, $9,000 debit cards. And now how much are we going to spend rounding these people up and sending them back to where they came from, folks? And it's all coming out of our tax dollars. Does it really matter? I mean, somebody literally broke the law and they need to be held accountable, don't you think? Yep. We'll discuss that and more on tomorrow's segment of the Krieger Files. In the meantime, man, I hope you can assimilate what's going on in D.C. and do something about it. Stay in the faith. Stay strong. More to come, of course, especially when Trump gets inaugurated. Day two should be interesting, right? In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
You're listening to SQRradio.com. The Squirrel.